The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 2, Scene 21. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm Claire Boswell from Style Weekly.
And you have the two of us, and we're going to do two reviews. We're going to start with It Should Have Been You, which is at Richmond Triangle Players through July 1st. It's wedding day for a couple from very different backgrounds. She's Jewish and he's Catholic, but that's only the beginning of their differences. And it was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was really fun. I had a great time from like the minute I got into the theater.
I looked around and the whole first act, everybody was grinning. It was a happy, you know, it was a smiling energy. There was just a funness about the show. And it was genuinely funny.
It was really funny. And, you know, that first number, the first musical number where they kind of introduce you to everybody. Really sold me on the play. I think I went in a little dubious having read a little bit about it and sort of thinking like, oh, a wedding play. But I had no idea that a wedding play could be this much fun.
And I think the cast overall was very strong. Interestingly, I noticed overall, I think the women were stronger than the men.
I agree with that.
Although everybody did a good job. We'll have to call out Susan Sanford's beautifully underplayed solo was just the highlight
of the evening. It was my favorite part of the whole show.
She was great. And then that hilariously cliche duet that Jesse Johnson and Duran Tyree did that was actually a spoof on soulful ballads was really wonderful. And the cast overall, though, was very strong. I think we have to say a lot of the credit goes to the director, John Kretzu.
Absolutely.
Who did the original West Coast version.
Oh, really?
So he'd done the show before, but he brought lots of great little bits, little comic moments, and honed it to a really finely crafted comedy. New choreographer in town, now at VCU, Kiku Alvaro, who just did Spamalot at VCU, which was wonderful.
Cool.
He choreographed this, and he really choreographed it for the comedy.
Yes.
You could see it was funny.
Yep, the choreography was hilarious as well.
And we have to say shout out to Kim Fox. Her orchestra was, they were perfect because they weren't too loud. Mm-hmm. You could hear them. They never got in the way. Mm-hmm. They sounded good. You know, that's one of the things that's always refreshing about Triangle is they don't use mics.
Yep.
First, you don't have the visual distraction of that stupid thing sticking in somebody's forehead, and you can still hear everybody.
Mm-hmm. And especially with strong singers. Like, this show had a lot of really great singers.
It did. Great voices.
Yeah.
It did. The set was beautiful. Frank Foster did a great job of making that really elegant-looking reception space.
And I liked that we could see the band.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
A little bit back there. Yeah.
They had those little the Palladian windows, and the band was through the window. So it was a nice little surprise to see them back there. Just a little hint of them. The only complaint I had about the design was the two monitors on the sides that told you what room you were in.
Yeah.
And you looked at them the first couple times and you're like, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. It's just people coming and going. And I thought they
were... Yeah, you sort of knew what room you were in because of, you know, context of the play. Yeah.
Exactly. So I thought that was really not necessary. They were attractive, but it didn't add anything. Michael Jarrett added even more fun. The lighting was festive. And of course, a wedding always brings out the opportunity for beautiful dresses. And I thought T.C. Williams did not disappoint. There were some lovely outfits. What else can we say wonderful about this show?
In a play that's so funny, I keep thinking about all of these character actors, but Georgia Rogers Farmer did such a nice job of sort of being the straight man to all of these characters and bringing a lot of emotion to the musical numbers that she performed. I thought she was really fantastic.
On a little note here, I had to actually ask director John Kretzu at intermission. She was padded. I've seen her before on stage and she's not that big. And I thought, well, I wonder if she gained 20 pounds because it was necessary for the role.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she was well padded, I would say, because I had to ask.
Her legs are so thin. I know.
Well, I did notice her legs and arms were a little thin.
Yeah.
But still, she did a great job.
She was amazing.
And this show was just crammed with energy and joyful performances. I think we can agree it was just genuinely funny and delightful.
Yeah. It was a great show.
And we have been talking there about It Should Have Been You at Triangle Players through July 1. Now we're going to segue over to Agecroft Hall for the first show of the Richmond Shakespeare Festival. Love's Labor's Lost runs through June 25th. The King of Navarre and three companions swear off women for 3 years, only to almost immediately fall in love with a French princess and her entourage. Letters are written and identities are confused. That's the basic story. It's not one of Shakespeare's most popular or best comedies. It's an early one.
It's an early one, and one thing that's sort of interesting about this one is, you know, most of Shakespeare's comedies and tragedies and histories can have some kind of clear source material, but Love's Labor's Lost is one of the few that does not. It's safe to assume that this is perhaps one that came a little more from Shakespeare himself, and I think that's why this one, I think a lot of the humor is about poetry and wordplay, and you know, these things come out in the conversations, which makes it maybe not as action oriented as a lot of other comedies are.
I said it seemed almost drowned by dialogue. There was minimal action, and usually you expect, you know, people running around a lot. Obviously, for anybody who's not really into Shakespeare, the language can be a challenge. They did have a synopsis in the program, which helps to kind of understand it. And even though the cast was primarily very talented, it was sometimes confusing about knowing what was going on. I think it started slowly and ended kind of on a downer, obviously, which was unusual.
Usually a comedy would end with weddings, and this one is a weird one because it ends with them delaying.
But it doesn't end the way you'd expect it.
It doesn't end the way you'd expect a Shakespearean comedy to end.
There are some great performances. David Janosik, who is almost always great at Richmond Shakespeare and everywhere else. He did a great job. Luke Shares and Dan Chimo both had some wonderful comic moments. I have to say, though, the real kudos in this show goes to the director. James Ricks really added lots of clever moments, and he let some of the characters be spicy. And I think without his inventiveness, it could have been a lot more talky.
I think he made a lot of decisions to take a play that maybe isn't the most accessible and make it as accessible as possible. The costumes maybe were confusing as far as time period, but then I thought they did a lot to sort of establish who characters are. There were decisions like with costumes and props that I think were aimed at explaining some of the more difficult plot points and who characters are and things like that, which I think was smart on his part. And I think he definitely understands the literary appeal of this play.
And I will have to say, I thought the snazzy florid clothes were kind of fun.
I thought they were really fun too. Yeah, yeah. I really loved those dresses. Actually, I would like to know where I can get one.
The French women wore?
Yeah.
I have to say one thing about those dresses. Two of them were the same pattern, just a different different fabric.
In slightly different colors. Really? The other thing I want to say is Ellie Duffy, the young actor, really impressed me. I thought she was great. I want to watch her grow.
She had a lovely solo.
Her song was so great.
But I will have to say, she was the only person in the cast, and she is a young actor, mm-hmm. who I had a hard time hearing all the time. She hadn't quite gotten down the projection of your voice so that you can be heard.
Which
in the
is really important at Agecroft Hall,
absolutely, when you're outdoors. Yep. I think she'll probably develop into that,
mm-hmm.
but that was my only challenge with her.
I'm excited
to
watch
her. She was a lovely presence.
Yeah. I think she was great. Yeah.
So I think overall, even though it's not one of the Bard's most familiar or best known plays, I thought the cast and James Ricks' creative direction really made it enjoyable.
I agree.
Okay, we've been talking about Love's Labor's Lost, which is a Quill production of the Richmond Shakespeare Festival at Agecroft Hall through June 25th. Spark is about to stage its fifth annual Live Art this Sunday. I went to a rehearsal last weekend, you'll hear some of the audience in the background, and met with Ryan Ripperton, who is Spark's executive director and chief imagination officer. We talked about some of the basics and what's new this year.
So Ryan, what is Live Art?
Live Art is an inclusion program, and so it unites students with and without disabilities working together. They start their classes at the beginning of the school year. They learn in the classroom together at Spark all year long. They, in the classroom, are using arts to learn social and emotional outcomes. So really learning about acceptance and compassion and empathy. And in the context of curriculum that's organized around the theme. So this year they've been talking about dream. What are our dreams for our community? What are our dreams for ourselves, our own lives, our loved ones? And then how do we take actions to make those dreams come true?
There's an impressive list of guest artists, including Jason Mraz, who's a Spark graduate and has been involved in live art every year. There's also Rob Thomas, the lead singer-songwriter for Matchbox 20 and also a solo artist. Paul Williams, the great songwriter of many hits, Colby Collott, Rayvon Owen, Justin Willman, who's also acting as host and a comic. He was recently in a special on Comedy Central. Chris Caswell, Ben Lee, and locals Desiree Root, Steve Bassett, and Susan Greenbaum. They're all intertwined with the students dancing and moving around the stage as well, right?
It's a true theatrical show. It's not a music concert, which would be disjointed. There is a through line that goes through the entire thing and really kind of explores the theme.
John Bullard is a wonderful young man who has opened every year with a piano solo. I remember seeing him the first year I went, and he's amazing and wonderful. Will he be back this year?
He will be performing in the show this year, along with a lot of other alumni who've actually been in the program now for 5 years.
When Live Art started 5 years ago, it was an innovative and inspiring idea. How has that changed or grown since then?
The way that we know that this work that we're doing in Live Art is innovative is that we actually have an educational specialist who's tracking the student progress on their social and emotional learning. And so the students that we've had for 5 years really represent an important sample to know that we are having the kind of life-changing impact with these programs that we say we do.
If somebody wants to get tickets, what's the deal?
Tickets are going fast. We are expecting it to sell out or come close, and so people should definitely act now.
And what's the best way to do that?
It's on our website, sparkonline.org, and it'll click you right through, and you can purchase tickets online, or you can get them at the Altria Theater box office.
Thanks to Ryan Ripperton from Spark for talking to us about this year's live art, which is this Sunday, 5 p.m. at the Altria Theater. By the way, if you're a card-holding RAPT member, you can get tickets for $20 if there's still any available. That's it for this week's Curtain Call. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRIR.
This is Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
This is Jerry Williams from Sifter, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.